This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News and for Terry Gross.
Good morning, West Texas. Slammin' Sammy Mead coming at you with Panther Football Radio. 470 AM on your dial. It's Monday morning, and we all know what that means. Only 4 days till Friday night, the night that our Dillon Panthers bring the hammer down on the Westerby Mustangs. Who wants to talk Panther football? I'm all ears.
Hey, Sammy, this is Susan.
The season finale of the series Friday Night Lights airs tonight. And while NBC hasn't decided whether it will be back next year, critics are practically begging for another season of the Peabody Award-winning show about a Texas town's obsession with high school football. Mimi Avens of the LA Times wrote that the first thing anyone who hasn't discovered the show should know is that it's not about football. It regularly deals with issues of parenting, race, class, and drug abuse. Tom Shales of the Washington Post said the show brings plenty of realism, as well as passion, soul, and heart at levels rare in episodic TV. Our guest is the series creator Peter Berg, who also directed the movie Friday Night Lights, based on the nonfiction bestseller by Buzz Bissinger, who happens to be Berg's cousin. In this scene from the TV show's first episode, players are talking to a local news crew about their upcoming season.
We go in undefeated, shattering records, taking these high expectations to unimaginable new highs. State champions.
What's after high school, Brian?
Me and Mac Brown gonna get our win on in Pasadena. Get my national championship on, my Heisman on.
It's known that a couple years ago, your father passed away, and he's not gonna be able to
see
you play.
No, look, I don't talk about that, all right? You wanna ask me football questions, I answer you football questions.
Okay. Let's shift gears a minute. There's been talk of racism around this squad. Have you experienced anything like that?
I don't let that fade me. I just keep my blinders on and keep moving. I got things to do.
That's not racism, man. I just don't like him. He could be from Saudi Arabia or Sweden or Czech. That dude could be Santa Claus, and I still won't like him. My name's Tim Riggins, and I play a fullback.
Peter Berg has worked for 18 years in film and television as a writer, producer, director, and actor. He was a regular on the TV series Chicago Hope. His films include The Last Seduction and Copland. Well, Peter Berg, welcome to Fresh Air. I thought we'd talk a bit about the movie Friday Night Lights first, since you adapted this from Buzz Bissinger's book about the 1988 football season of the Odessa Permian Panthers. You spent some time in Texas getting acclimated here. Could you talk a little bit about that experience?
Sure. When Buzz Bissinger wrote the book, he moved his family down to Odessa, Texas, and lived down there for a year. And I think that time spent, you know, really immersing himself in the culture was very evident in the book in terms of the level of detail and the subtlety that he was able to capture in the book. And when it became apparent to me that the film was in fact going to get made, it was important for me to go back and sort of retrace his footsteps. I knew we were going to shoot the film in Austin, not Odessa, so I chose to spend most of my time in Austin, Texas, with a high school called Austin Westlake High School, just outside of the city. And I spent about 6 months with different families and coaches and their families traveling with the team. And that time spent was, I think, critical in terms of getting myself in the right mindset so that I was able to bring to the screen what Buzz Bissinger did so successfully in his book.
Well, I thought maybe we could hear a cut from the film here. And this is a moment fairly early in the film where Coach Gaines, played by Billy Bob Thornton, is addressing his team not before they're ready to go to battle, but at the end of a practice. They're about to begin the season. And he kind of has a moment with them. Let's listen.
It's a good day, gentlemen. It's a good day to think about responsibility. It's a good day to ask yourself if on a personal level you're willing to accept that. If you're willing to accept the responsibility that you have to protect this team and this school and this town. And make no mistake about it, gentlemen. We are in the business of protecting this town. We're in the business of winning. The expectations couldn't be any higher. We will win state.
And that is Billy Bob Thornton from the movie Friday Night Lights, directed by our guest Peter Berg. You want to say a little bit about that speech?
Well, you know, as I was listening to it, I was tempted to initially respond that it might really not be quite that intense, and that perhaps coaches don't frame high school football seasons in terms of protecting towns and protecting dreams. But I actually do stand by that, and I you know, I'm still caught up in the magic and the spectacle that is high school sports, not just in Texas, but really anywhere in the country, whether it's hockey in Minnesota, basketball in Indiana or New York. You can't help but be touched by the fact that when you go to these games and you experience these communities, the intensity and the level of importance placed upon winning is quite remarkable. And I was certainly struck by my time in Texas with how mature and poised and skillful these young kids, 15, 16 years old, were in terms of handling that pressure. And I was equally impressed by the reality of that pressure, that families really do get caught up and their identities get very much caught up in the culture of athletics. And winning is very, very important to these communities.
You know, I read a piece by the beat writer for the Odessa American, the daily paper of Odessa, Texas, who had covered the Odessa Permian Panthers in 1989, loved Buzz Bissinger's book, but didn't like the movie because mm-hmm. he felt it strayed so far from the book. And it of course, raises a difficulty that anyone who adapts a great book to a movie faces, which is you can't get it all in. How did you decide what choices did you have to make about that adaptation, things that maybe just weren't going to work in the movie?
You know, that was sort of the big question, how to adapt a book and put it into a 90 plus minute format. And I think the first big decision that I made that, you know, probably irked this reporter from the Odessa newspaper was, you know, what Bissinger did so successfully was he used high school football as a backdrop to explore, very legitimate social issues, racism, education, family values, religion. This was really the heart of Friday Night Lights, particularly issues like racism and education. Those were two huge issues in the book. And I decided not to try and tackle racism as a theme in the film. I didn't think that we'd be able to service it and give it the respect and the treat it with the complexity that it warrants. So we dealt with it in a much more subtle manner and decided to focus primarily on the concept of football, the concept of that one special moment in a life in which everything really seems to make sense, which was certainly a theme that Bissinger hit in his book, and that to me was the most interesting theme. And for all the criticism that Friday Night Lights, the book, took when it came out, particularly in Odessa, Texas, where Bissinger received death threats after the book was published because they felt that they were being portrayed as overly fanatic and racist and people who had their academic priorities, you know, completely backwards. Bissinger really first and foremost presented a world in which sport was a beautiful and magical experience, and Bissinger believed that, and that was what I chose to focus on primarily in the film, and let these other issues percolate, but certainly not dominate.
We spoke a minute ago about some of the challenges of trying to adapt a book with all of the complexity that Friday Night Lights brought to the issue of football and the social milieu it operates in into a 90-minute or two-hour movie. In a TV series, you've got a lot of time to work on some of those things. Was that one of the reasons you wanted to make this into a series?
Absolutely. And, you know, during the filming of Friday Night Lights, I knew that we were not going to be able to really, really get deep and scratch in a real substantive way the surface of what Bissinger was able to do so well in the book. And I felt very, very strongly that the medium of television would provide us the opportunity to do that, to take 6 or 7 episodes and explore the ways that high schools allocate their resources financially. In Texas, the training departments, the sports medicine departments have larger budgets than English departments. And these were themes that we weren't able to really deal with in a way that was satisfying to me or Bissinger in the film, but we felt that a television series would be a perfect medium to get deeper into these issues. And I've been very happy with the way it's worked out so far.
Now, you spent time in Texas sort of getting into the frame of mind to portray Texas high school football, but the series itself is actually shot in Austin. Now, I'm sure this could have been done on sound stages in Los Angeles. What did doing it in Texas bring to the series?
Well, I mean, this is part of what I was talking about earlier in terms of wanting to make things feel and actually be as real as possible, and it was critical. It was a deal breaker for us. We had to shoot the show in Texas. It's just too unique of a culture, and the network was very supportive of it. We didn't want to build any sets, and we haven't. Actually, that's not true. We built a locker room, but other than that, we shoot the show entirely in real locations. With as many Texas actors as we can, we wanted to avoid bad Southern accents and wherever possible, and I think that putting the show in Texas was and is a critical aspect to why the show is working creatively.
I was going to ask you about this. There was a DJ from a Houston radio station who said about the series, if you already have this impression of Texas as a bunch of podunk hicks in the country and all we care about is football and having sex on washing machines, this series totally supports that. I actually don't agree. I mean, I think one of the things I like about this is that you show this as...
I'm sorry, sex where? In washing machines or on washing machines?
On washing machines, which I don't recall seeing in the series.
I don't either. That's a good idea, though. We're gonna do that. Someone's going to have sex in a washing machine.
All right. Well, I hope this DJ doesn't demand credit or payment for the idea. But I do think one of the things that I like about it is that it's not one-dimensional, and it does show the complexity of a culture that is rooted in a real place with real traditions and accents.
I mean, yeah, I'm not clear on where that gentleman's coming from or what his point of view is. I mean, I think that I think there's certainly an inherent sensitivity to how any culture is portrayed, and Texas is obviously a very, very proud and culturally oriented state. It's one of the things that I love about Texas, and it doesn't surprise me that any time someone, especially outsiders, come and sort of set up camp in that state, there's going to be a response, and there's going to be an inherent skepticism. I remember when I was up in Odessa researching the making of the film. I was at a high school football game in Permian at Ratliff Stadium, 20,000 people on a Friday night watching this football game, and I was standing up in the top of the stadium looking down, and there was a long stairway that went all the way from the top to the field, I mean, real long, a couple of hundred yards, and I was up at the very top, and I was looking down, and a woman was kind of coming up the steps towards me from the bottom, very, very purposefully, and she had a baby in one arm and a big thing of popcorn, I remember, in the other arm, and she was just chugging up those steps, and I was watching her, and I was, noting that she seemed to be coming straight at me with purpose. And she got right up to me, and she pointed a finger in my eye, and she said, "Are you here to make a movie about Friday Night Lights?" And I said, "Well, yes, I am." And she looked at me, and she's just glaring at me, and she had this baby in her arm. The baby was looking at me, and she said, are you going to make us look like monsters?" And it really hit me, and I said, "No, ma'am, I don't. No, I'm not going to. No." And she looked at me, she said, "Let me tell you something. We are not monsters." And she turned around and walked down those steps, and I was, stunned and thought about that for a long time, and, thought about it as I was making the film every day, and thought about it as I was writing the pilot for the television series. And, there is certainly a responsibility. We aspire to honor what Buzz Bissinger did and the respect that he had for those players. And that's the spirit of what we're trying to do. And I don't think you'll see many young couples having sex on or in or generally even near washing machines in our television show.
I want to talk just a bit about the production. You know, I mean, TV series typically are done on tight schedules and scenes are carefully blocked out and camera angles have been carefully considered to get exactly the lighting and the angles that they want. Your technique here is very different. Describe how you do this.
Right. Well, we generally walk into a location that's a real location. So if we're shooting in a restaurant, we just take a regular restaurant the way it is, the way it's lit. We'll generally, you know, approach the restaurant a day before and tell them that if they have regular clientele that come and want to hang out for a day and be part of a show, that they should just come. We use the local cooks, the local waitresses in their costumes. We tend to not dress them. We bring the actors in with a minimal amount of equipment, you know, grip equipment, rigging, and lighting. We let them kind of walk around rehearsing the scene. We encourage them to improvise and make the dialogue their own, change things. We don't call them scripts. We tend to call them vague guidelines. And then we come in with a bunch of handheld cameras and we tell everyone to just sort of go. And it's over very quickly. And for people that aren't used to it, it's somewhat traumatic. And they wonder kind of what happened when we say, okay, we got it, and we move on to the next location.
And do you do it several
basically our approach.
Do you do the scene several times?
We do. We tend to not cut. What we do is we put long magazines of film in. You know, it's our philosophy that every time you cut on a film set, everything sort of comes to a grinding halt. And you have to restart every time you go for another take. So what we like to do is just basically shoot until the cameras run out of film. And then rather than cutting, we'll just reload, you know, if an A camera rolls out, we'll reload that while the other B and C cameras are still shooting. So we'll just keep going and going and going until either we've run out of film or we've got the scene.
How do the actors not step on each other's lines?
Oh, they do. You know, which we like. They'll step on each other's lines. They'll mess things up. They'll get lost and have to kind of find their way out of it. But the actors absolutely love it, and it makes for, you know, a more organic experience when you're doing it. And I think for something that feels a bit more real when you see the finished product.
We had one more cut maybe I thought we would play, and this is a quieter moment. I mean, there's a lot of a lot of really intense stuff, but this is a moment in the hospital where Jason Street, who began the season as the star quarterback, lies at this point possibly paralyzed, and his coach is talking to him, and Street asks the coach how his replacement, a probably underprepared quarterback named Matt Saracen, is doing. Let's listen.
Mm-hmm. How's Saracen doing? Saracen's doing fine. He's throwing like a girl, but he's doing fine. He's doing fine. It'll take some time.
Well, you know, I was kind of like that kid. You know? He's a lot different than me. He doesn't need a roadmap like I do, I think. He's kind of creative. This is Bob Dylan and draws pictures and stuff. I don't know, he's a good kid. I think you free him up a little bit out there on that field, he'll make some things happen for you.
And that's from the series Friday Night Lights, which was created by our guest, Peter Berg. Any thoughts about that scene, Peter?
I have to say I find that very emotional. We were when we were filming the movie, we spent a lot of time filming real playoff games, and we used that footage in the film. We'd shoot real high school playoff games and then cut that into the film. And we were filming a playoff game at Austin Westlake High School in Austin, And it was a game between the Westlake Chaparrals and a school out of San Antonio, Texas. And in the fourth quarter, there was a big, very violent collision. And a 16-year-old boy named David Edwards, who played cornerback for San Antonio, broke his neck. And in that moment went from being a beautiful, extremely athletic young teenage boy to being an instant quadriplegic and lost all the movement in his body from his neck down. And that was obviously a very, very emotional and profound experience for me and for all of the crew and for everyone in that stadium that experienced that and went through that. And the storyline of Jason Street hurting himself and trying to, reclaim his identity after such a traumatic incident was inspired by David Edwards.
You've been around television for a long time, and this series has gotten a lot of critical acclaim and has a very devoted audience, but not a huge audience. Why do you think it struggled to find the big numbers that the networks want?
I think there's two reasons that we're struggling with the ratings right now. And I think one was a preconceived idea that the show was going to be exclusively about high school football, and that was off-putting to a lot of people. It was off-putting to women. It was off-putting to high school football players who were concerned that it wouldn't be realistic. It was off-putting to sports fans who were getting their fill of football. Getting over the initial hurdle of football was a big problem. And the second problem, which is equally significant for us, is a question of time slot. When you put a new show on, first we were opposite at this television show Dancing with the Stars, which was hugely successful, and now we're up against American Idol, which is possibly the most successful show on in the last 15 years on television, and these shows are just beating us up regularly. And we can't win that way.
Well, I thought we'd talk a little bit about some of the long career you had before this Friday Night Lights. And you've done a lot of acting. You were a regular on Chicago Hope. And a lot of people remember you from the 1994 film The Last Seduction, where you're a small-town guy smitten with a very hard-edged, manipulative woman played by Linda Fiorentino. It's a very sexual relationship. She wants nothing more than that initially, protecting secrets about her life. And that film's all about that relationship. I wonder if you could just describe it a little bit and what it was like playing it.
That film, to me, is really about how we tend to just project whatever we want to upon another person, whether it's a man projecting onto a woman and just refusing to see the reality of who that person is. I played a guy who was so desperate to be in love and to get out of this small town that I was willing to ignore the most glaring of warning signs imaginable, and I paid big time for it. So it's a real cautionary tale for, I think, anyone to not ignore the reality of what you're seeing in a relationship. I think it happens a lot. It certainly happened to me in my life, where you just refuse to see who a person really is because you don't want to, and before you know it, you're in prison for the rest of your life, and you're living a John Lee Hooker blues song.
I think the first film that you wrote and directed was Very Bad Things, right?
Mm.
Which was a black, some would say very black, a comedy about guys who go to Vegas for a bachelor party and end up accidentally killing a prostitute, then just decide to conceal it, leading to further mayhem. I mean, this...
All the wrong moves.
Right.
Right. All the wrong moves.
It was a controversial film. I guess, look, going back, that was in 98, I guess, that you did that. How do you look at that? Was it a misunderstood film? Would you do it differently today?
I don't think I would. It was my first film, and I wrote it with a large amount of irreverence, and it was fun to write, and I was really left to my own devices, and I was allowed to do exactly what I wanted to do. And at the time, that was really where my head was at. I thought it was just outrageous, and it was very funny to me, and it was funny to the people I was working with, and to and it still you know, I think if you added up the reviews, definitely we lost. And if you look at the, I'm friends with Michael Mann now, and we were talking about reviews, about bad reviews the other day, and I said, you know, I've gotten the worst all-time review ever. And he said, no, I have. And we were arguing about who got the worst reviews, and he was talking about a review that he had gotten for an earlier film, and I said, well, you got to read Kenneth Turan, the film critic for the LA Times, review of Very Bad Things. You can Google it. You can pull it up online.
I did read that. It's nasty.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I say to all my friends now who are filmmakers, I say, you know, and they who take, you know, hits from the critics, I say, look, no one's going to take a harder hit than I took from Ken Turan, and I'm still standing, and I'm, you know, still seem to be functioning in the business, despite his clear attempt to take my head off and make sure I never got anywhere near a film set again. But you know, I think, look, I think if I was still making Very Bad Things today, you know, as the father of a 7-year-old kid and someone who, you know, I think has matured in terms of what he wants to do and say with film. And I'm not that person anymore. And you know, that was who I was at a point in my life. And the great thing about being able to make films is you get the opportunity to grow and, you know, mature as an artist. And, I'm just, you know, thankful that Ken Turan didn't completely derail my career and I've been able to make more films.
Well, Peter Berg, thanks so much for speaking with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Actor, writer, and director Peter Berg. NBC is still considering whether his series Friday Night Lights will be back for another season. Berg has just finished the feature film The Kingdom, an action drama set in the Middle East. It's scheduled for release this fall.